Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting the new paradigm of sustainability, peace, nonviolence, compassion, justice, health, freedom, and wellness for all. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. In this episode, I'm featuring snippets of the Rancher Advocacy Program Summit that happened July 30th, 2022. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We're listening to the cow song. From his album, Animal Songs.
I want to welcome everybody to the fourth annual RAP Summit. I'm Renee King-Sonnen, and I'm the founder and director of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary and the Rancher Advocacy Program. In the past, we've been asking, what can farmers do on their land to thrive without using animals in production? For the last three summits, we've implored, we've asked the question over and over and over. And now we are doing just that. I am considered a leader in the world of animal rights. And before you know it, our story of a Texas beef cattle ranch gone vegan made headlines and we were changing the world. I've been told by many, many folks that we are doing in the animal rights world what never has been done before. And I am so grateful to be included in such an amazing, amazing group of people.
RAP Summit 2022, co-hosted by the Rancher Advocacy Program and Unchained TV.
The Rancher Advocacy Program has helped folks like Jennifer and Rodney Barrett, whom you'll hear about today. Their story is incredible. We have helped folks like Cindy and Richard Traylor, who you heard from last summit. We've even brought folks in like Lawrence Candy, who is transitioning his farm in Scotland. It is amazing to see the work the Rancher Advocacy Program has been putting out. I just want to introduce our amazing, amazing friend, Jane Velez Mitchell of Unchained TV. She is a television and social media journalist and author. She's the founder of UnchainedTV.com, which is a hub for the Unchained TV Global Streaming Network, which is an app with hundreds of TV shows and movies all about compassion to the animals, to the people, and the planet. The Unchained TV Network is a 501c3 nonprofit and is located in Marina Del Rey. Jane.
Oh, so excited to be here, Renee. And, you know, I just love the work you're doing. This is the most important question to answer today. Animal agriculture is absolutely destroying our planet. It is a leading cause of global warming, habitat destruction, wildlife extinction, human world hunger, and preventable human disease, antibiotic resistance. I could go on all day long, but we've got to answer this question. 8 billion humans eating and in the process torturing 80 billion land animals every year is not sustainable. Something has got to give, and we're going to answer that today. We've got an absolutely fantastic panel. I am over the moon that Pat Brown has joined us today. I am such a fan. He is the founder and the chief visionary officer of Impossible Foods. I'm sure most of you have tried the Impossible products. They're extraordinary. They look like meat. They taste like meat. They even smell like meat, but they are 100% plant-based. so they are better for people, animals, and the planet. We're going to hear from him. We're also going to be hearing from Rodney and Jennifer Barrett. The Barretts are farmers who spent many years in the chicken business. They've had a change of heart. Now they are transitioning their chicken warehouses to mushroom farming. Very exciting and courageous journey. You're going to hear all about it. Carl Jorgensen in the house today, Plant-Based Foods Institute. He does so many things, but one of the things he does, he convinces investors and manufacturers to switch to plant-based, to invest in plant-based. It is a fast-growing, perhaps the fastest-growing part of the food industry. We've also got David Ebert of the Animal Defense Partnership. He provides legal services to animal protection nonprofits. So important, because there are so many legal challenges that these incredible organizations face. Jackie Solomon, Seeds to Inspire, in the house. She is so inspiring. She lost more than 150 pounds when she switched to a plant-based diet and reversed some preventable diseases. And now she is spreading the word to the rest of the world. They need that information. Connie Spence is with us today, from the Agriculture Fairness Alliance, doing crucial work. She is sending lobbyists into the halls of Congress to educate lawmakers about plant-based lifestyle. So many of them are so ignorant, and also to try to cut some of these outrageous multi-billion dollar subsidies to the meat and dairy industry and divert some of that money, our tax dollars, to healthy fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, and legumes. Dennis Vidmar of the Mush Hub Co. He is one of the top mushroom experts in the world. And guess what? He's helping the Barretts transition their farm to mushroom farming. So exciting. Finally, last but not least, Eloisa Trinidad of Chili's on Wheels. Brilliant, brilliant activist who uses out-of-the-box programs to get people turned on to the vegan lifestyle, like the free vegan fridge, the community fridge. So this is so exciting. Again, there is no more important conversation that we could have right now on this planet. Fasten your seatbelts. This is going to be an exciting ride. Back to you, Renee.
Texas is going vegan right now. So that song has reverberated around Texas and also parts of the world. And we are setting a standard for Texas. The Texas is very vegan friendly. But right now, I would like to take a deep breath and just say how so totally happy I am to be introducing Pat Brown, founder and chief visionary officer of Impossible Foods. I'll tell the world, you know, I am so excited to have you on board, and the fact that you support the work that we're doing here at the Rancher Advocacy Program. I'm kind of starstruck, really. But, you know, aside from that, I've been able to sit with you in some meetings over the past few weeks, and you are so down to earth. If my husband, who's a former cattle rancher that loved every type of meat there was, you know, he makes it every day. Right now at home, he's making another meatloaf for me whenever I get off here. So, of course, the impossible. But I want to roll the video before we continue on a video that you produced for us just yesterday or day before, I think. And it's so heartwarming. And I just want you to know, it just really, really made my heart kind of beat a little bit. And I just want to thank you. So let's roll the video and hear from Pat Brown before we go on.
Hi, everyone. I'm Pat Brown, founder of Impossible Foods. At Impossible Foods, we're working to dramatically reduce the land, water, climate, and biodiversity impact of the global food system by developing innovative ways to transform plant proteins into delicious, healthy, affordable meat that delivers everything everyday meat consumers value. In the great American tradition, we're using innovation and competition in the free market to make a better world for our children and grandchildren. I'm proud to join the RAP community in their pioneering work to create new opportunities for farmers and ranchers. It's a market that is offering, that's creating a business model that may be better than growing cattle, and lets you stay on your land and restore it to optimal health.
Now I want to bring on my friend, my co-host, Jane, to shake it up for you for just a bit. Jane?
Well, while you were talking, so interesting, getting notifications on my cell phone, the death toll in the Kentucky floods has skyrocketed. Mm. California wildlife. We know recently in Kansas, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of dead cattle that literally keeled over from the heat. And it seems like there's literally maybe two dozen people on this planet who have the power, if they decided to make this change, this obvious change that even a 12-year-old activist can figure out, that we've got to get away from animal agriculture. So Bill Gates is either the or one of the largest private landowners. He's buying all this farmland. You have all the meat and dairy companies, basically less than 10 that run the whole shebang. Isn't there a way to get to these people and say, look, government is out to lunch. It's been co-opted by industry.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And frankly, those companies and governments, and it's not like they're made up of just evil people or something like that, although there are plenty of evil people in government and big business. But it's just that there is such a political and economic incentive for them to preserve the status quo. Okay. Like if they're in power because the status quo put them in power, they don't want to shake things up. So don't hold your breath. I don't think the initiative is going to come from them. But actually, it is an interest. This is one of the things I really like about this RAP program, because actually, it's in the economic and market interests of farmers and ranchers.
If there's a miracle out there, Bill Gates is watching this, and he can start transitioning and rewilding all the land that he has accumulated, because just that one person doing that would start the entire thing. But yeah. That being said,
Bill Gates is an investor in Impossible Foods, so I have to be careful not to say anything disrespectful. But I think that, yes, it has always puzzled me why, you know, as a significant landowner, that land is being used for conventional agriculture when there's this big opportunity. But, you know.
Can I ask you one other follow-up question? And that is, somebody said, in order to hit the tipping point, the plant-based tipping point, we have to make plant-based foods cheaper than even the heavily subsidized meat and dairy products.
Yes. The cost of the products that Impossible Foods makes, or anyone who's making plant-based products at scale, is vastly lower than the cost of making them with animals. Because we turn the plants, instead of growing lots and lots of soybeans and corn and alfalfa and feeding it to cows, we turn those plants directly into food with 100% efficiency, which means we need to grow less plants, okay? Less resources, less labor growing crops, a lot less, no labor managing the animals. And our production process is way more efficient because, you know, the production process of meat processing plant basically involves thousands of very poorly paid workers with large knives deconstructing an ungainly animal into meat, whereas we've designed the whole process to turn plant ingredients into meats to be efficient. So at scale, the economics, like, they're structurally way better. So the cost of meat and fish and dairy food will be much less, and the quality will be better. I mean, we have products on the market that in blind consumer tests are recognized as meat and are preferred over the best-selling animal version. You know, we're going to get better and better at this. We have proven that it's possible to make meat products entirely from plant ingredients that blind consumers in blind taste tests decisively prefer just on taste alone. And they're healthier. They're lower calorie, they're lower fat, lower saturated fat, zero cholesterol. And so this only ends one way. That's the reason why I'm always optimistic that the cost will come down at scale and consumers will be, well, in fact, here's how you know consumers will be better off. Because if they don't think they're better off, we don't succeed. In other words, this only works if consumers are happier. And with RAP involved, the other part of the problem, which is making things better for the farmers and ranchers that depend on this industry, we'll get that covered as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pat. You have certainly made the impossible possible. I always say, Jane, I love it. I love to say impossible also says I'm possible. So which is it really? And so thank you, Pat, so much.
You tuned in to WCUW 91.3 FM, Amali Nara, host of Vegan Nation, coming to you from the heart of Massachusetts. I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm featuring the RAP Summit, an online summit that was held July 30th, 2022. And this is edited, shortened snippets from the four-hour online summit. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue with recordings from Wrap Summit 2022.
This is WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, online at wcuw.org. Este es WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, radio comunitaria sirviendo a centro Massachusetts vía internet a wcuw.org.
Hi folks, this is JJ. Are you tired of the same old pasteurized, homogenized, processed noise that is commercial radio? Well, if you are, please join me every Tuesday evening at 5 as I host The Drive on WCUW 91.3 FM and worldwide on WCUW.org. You'll hear 2 hours of actual music from people with actual talent.
Please join us on Vegan Nation right here on WCUW 91.3 FM every Tuesday, 4 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Vegan Nation features local, national, and international news, events, interviews, and music on the vegan lifestyle. Listen worldwide at WCUW.org. Worcester Community Radio, serving central Massachusetts and the globe. Thanks for tuning in. We're continuing with our special of the Rancher Advocacy Program, their online summit that was held July 30th, 2022. Thanks again for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. This is Renee King Sonnen in Texas.
Next up, the amazing Carl Jorgensen. He provides independent consulting services to brands, manufacturers, and investors, and co-founder of a company offering the world's first commercial test to detect GMOs in foods. Well, Carl, you know, our union has gone back for a couple years. You've been on our volunteer collaboration from the last couple of summits. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, actually, I was actually contacting PBFA in the very early days, right when I first started RAP, to see how in the world I could get a hold of these ingredient suppliers. When I figured out there was really ingredient suppliers in the world, that was a whole nother light bulb moment for me. And I dove into it. I made spreadsheets. It was, PBFA became such a resource in the early days of me learning all about the plant-based food industry and their ingredients that are supplied. Can you tell us a little bit, Carl, about your role in what is now PBFI, I guess?
Yeah, thanks, Renee. And it's so exciting to be here. Already, I call the RAP Summit a huge success. Plant-Based Foods Institute is actually the sister nonprofit organization of the Plant-Based Foods Association, which is the trade association for the plant-based foods industry in the United States, promoting plant-based, helping growers around the country begin taking advantages of the opportunities that this very fast-growing industry is offering. I loved hearing Patrick say that it's all due to the consumer, and it is. The plant-based food industry would not exist if people weren't buying plant-based foods.
Thank you. Okay, so next up, tell us about your domestic sourcing initiative. I want to know all the juicy details of how it's helping farmers transition away from livestock.
Well, thank you. The Plant-Based Foods Association and now the Plant-Based Foods Institute started the domestic sourcing initiative about 3 years ago. It came about because we discovered that the plant-based foods industry is actually highly dependent on imported ingredients, that American farmers aren't even getting this opportunity. It's farmers in other countries. And of course, we want farmers everywhere around the world to do well. But here we are selling plant-based foods to American consumers It's the American farmer who should be benefiting from this. And so when we talk about, you know, farmers transitioning from animal agriculture to plant-based agriculture, we really have to talk about what can these farmers grow? What are the key ingredients that are used in the plant-based foods industry? And we're now saying to growers, here are the crops, here are the ingredients, here are the markets. We can introduce you to brands, companies who are using them, who can contract with you to take delivery of your crops and have them manufactured into these foods. So it's a very, very exciting initiative.
It's so aligned with what we're doing at RAP. I mean, that's exactly, you know, my mission has always been to figure out, you know, how do we get plant-based food distribution contracts for our farmers? We put the farmers with the growers and the ingredients, and we change the world. Farmers just need our help. They need us coming together. We need to be as big as the USDA. We need to have coalitions and industry that is working together to change this world. So what are those three most important ingredients you're speaking of? Is it three?
It's actually more than three. I'll just run them down real quick. It's not a huge list. I've divided them into pulse crops, grain crops, and oilseed crops. So in pulse crops, we've got soy, which is very obvious. You know, soy is an important plant-based ingredient. Other pulses such as yellow peas and chickpeas. And these are things that all grow very well in North America. In terms of grain crops, the big ones are wheat, oats, and rice. And as far as wheat gluten is the protein extract of wheat, and it's actually a very traditional primary ingredient in plant-based foods, meat substitutes. Oats, obviously, oat milk actually is the fastest growing subcategory in the very fast growing non-dairy milk category. And then rice, brown rice protein is an increasingly important ingredient in plant-based foods, but also rice flour. For example, things like meatless bacon, rice flour can be a very important ingredient in meatless bacon. And then in terms of oil seeds, two crops which are grown very well in the U.S. is canola and sunflower. Canola oil and sunflower oil are both very key ingredients in the manufacture of plant-based foods. These are also opportunities for American farmers.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Jane, to you.
Yeah, Carl, talking to some farmers and ranchers, it seems like a lot of them want out, but they're scared. And they're even afraid to say they want out. They can have community ramifications. Is there a way for them to almost go in like the witness protection program, that there's some kind of cooperative they can enter without everybody knowing, where they can get help? And instead of each farmer having to reinvent the wheel themselves, is there sort of a discrete program they can get into where all these different organizations that have this level of expertise, from legal to finance to manufacturing, can help them get out, get over the wall?
Yeah, there are. And there's some very interesting organizations, actually, that are coming up around the country. In the Midwest, in Iowa, Wisconsin, Missouri, Minnesota, there's Practical Farmers of Iowa. Down in the lower Midwest, you have a very interesting organization called No Till on the Plains. And then up in the Northwest, you have some very powerful organizations such as Timeless Seeds, who are helping family farmers in Montana move away from growing the typical commodity crops and the typical livestock businesses into growing things like lentils, beans, peas.
Thank you so much, Carl.
You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. Marlena Massachusetts. I'm featuring snippets of the RAP Summit, an online conference co-hosted by the Rancher Advocacy Program and Unchained TV. Here's Jane Velez Mitchell interviewing Connie Spence of the Agricultural Fairness Alliance.
So the Farm Bill, there are those who feel that if it doesn't change radically when it's renewed in 2023, which is coming down the pike, if those billions, many, many billions of subsidies directly to animal agriculture continue with virtually no subsidies to healthy fruits, grains, nuts, grains, and legumes for humans. That is going to essentially lock us into this devastating system that we have. So what can be done as the clock ticks toward the renewal of the Farm Bill in 2023, next year, to stop the continuation of the massive animal agriculture subsidies?
I mean, to your point, it is a crisis and it is an emergency. And so my call out to any vegan is you need to be working with policy groups, whether it's local, state, or federal, and helping us, because it's, you're exactly right. The Farm Bill is a five-year plan that actually sets the stage for 10 to 15 years of spending. On the federal level, to be clear, there really is no way to do it without a lobbyist.
Thank you. I want to welcome everyone to this amazing friend of mine, Jackie Salomon. I know what it's like to be a woman in the world full of all this trauma, which our world is full of trauma. Animal agriculture is full of trauma. And so if we don't address our trauma, then we just stay stuck. We can't take that leap. And what I see you doing with your work is so incredible. You have an amazing healing journey all your own that you took from arresting your own diseases. You reversed your own chronic diseases in your body, but also in the bodies of your family.
Thank you so much. It started out in 2009. My 11-year-old son contracted a severe allergic reaction to a pharmaceutical, and he suffered greatly and earned his angel wings after 10 days. Oh. So my path to healing started there, needing to understand what had just happened, needing to understand how to keep living and breathing for my twins that were 8 years old at the time, needing to understand what my purpose was in all this. That's where the journey of healing started. We moved to Arizona, and in intuitive guidance, I felt my Joshua spirit here. We had come to vacation in Arizona for several summers, and he loved it here. It was his favorite place in the world. So we left New Jersey after a year and came to Arizona. And it was here that my children started experiencing discrimination in the schools because they learned differently. So there was more trauma. And so I was healing from what had happened with our family. I was trying to learn and educate myself to advocate for my children. So we all started getting really, really sick. Obesity set in, chronic diseases took their hold. And I almost lost my life twice due to the illnesses that I had. But that wasn't enough for me to like make a change. I was so stuck in our ways and every day dealing with the stress and every day just reacting to life that it wasn't until the diseases went after my children. And at 14, they were being diagnosed with prediabetes, high cholesterol. They wanted to put my babies on statins. They wanted to cut my baby's chest open to possibly sew up a hole that he had developed in his heart. And that's when it was just like, record scratch. And it was like the insanity was just like, stop. Like, what is happening? What is this? I need to understand this, because now they were going after my other babies. And it was then that I started researching and discovered really a holistic approach to like how to heal ourselves. Why don't we know this? And that made me really angry. That's when that divine feminine energy comes out and says, okay, no, something is not right here. Something is imbalanced. And so I really started learning. And when I learned about like the interconnectedness of all the oppressions, that's when I looked at the schools and going, oh my gosh, that's exactly what they're doing to my babies in the school. Exactly what they're doing in the lunchrooms. Exactly what's happening in the doctor's offices. And they're traumatizing everyone. Everyone is walking around traumatized. Everyone is traumatizing everyone else. And everyone is hurting.
That was Jackie Salomon, founder of Seeds to Inspire, one of the panelists at the RAP Summit. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. I'd like to thank Unchained TV and the Rancher Advocacy Program. You can hear this program again at wcuw.org/community and also at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. This is Marlene wishing you a good day.